Today is July 15th, 1973. We're in Nenana, Alaska, where the 50th anniversary of the driving of the Golden Spike by President Warren Harding is being observed. President Harding came to Alaska in July of 1923, and at the north end of the bridge, the railroad bridge in Nenana, a ceremony was held where President Harding drove that now famous Golden Spike, which signified the completion of the Alaska Railroad. In short, it completed the link between the South construction and the North construction, and the Alaska Railroad was officially opened then. President Harding continued on to Fairbanks and then returned to the outside of Alaska, that is, on the Alaska Railroad. Later in this tape, you'll hear an address by John W. Ingram, that's spelled I-N-G-R-A-M. He's the administrator for the Federal Railroad Administration. You'll also hear, referred to as Jack, John B. Coghill, commonly called Jack Coghill, who's the master of ceremonies at this particular ceremony right at the depot in Nenana. This ceremony followed another ceremony today, which was the recreation of the driving of that spike at the same location on the north end of the bridge, the railroad bridge that is, just the other side of the Tanana River from Nenana. You'll hear comments and an address by one of the honored guests on another tape, so I won't go into that on this tape. This particular address by John W. Ingram was given from a platform on the east side of the railroad depot, the same depot that was there when President Harding visited Nenana in 1923. As I said, the master of ceremonies that day was Jack Coghill, the mayor of Nenana. Also on the program right there at the depot were Walker S. Johnson, the current manager of the Alaska Railroad, Mr. Ingram, the administrator for Federal Railroad Administration, Don Samuelson, former governor of Idaho, and now Region 10 representative of the Secretary of Transportation. Also present were General James C. Sherrill, who's the commanding general of Alaska, and Major General Charles M. Geddes. General Geddes is the United States Army for Alaska commander. General Sherrill's last name is spelled S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L. Major General Geddes' last name is spelled G-E-T-T-Y-S. Former Governor Samuelson is Don Samuelson, spelled S-A-M-U-E-L-S-O-N. John W. Ingram, his last name is spelled I-N-G-R-A-M. I'm sorry that I didn't record the initial part of this program. I tried, but this fancy tape recorder fooled me and I didn't get it. Mary Dementoff, a native lady of Nenana, who's lived in Nenana and up and down the Yukon and Anoko and other rivers all of her life, was a mistress of ceremonies for the first part of the program. She introduced the native dancers of Nenana, who sang and danced, I think it was 5 different numbers for the guests. Many people, approximately 500 people, had been invited to this ceremony by the Alaska Railroad. Of course, all those invited couldn't come, but there must have been at least 500 people who were at the ceremony and who were later fed at a an outdoor picnic type affair, baked salmon, several different kinds of salad, macaroni salad, potato salad, coleslaw, hot rolls, and draft beer. All the cooking was done by the women of Nenana. They made the salads, they cooked the fish, heated the, I think the rolls were made by a bakery, but the fish and the salads. I'm sure that every person in Nenana was at this free buffet, if you want to call it, in the middle of town, and it was located right between the corner bar and the Moocher's bar, right in the main street that runs directly into the depot in Nenana. To go back to the invitation, an invitation is sent out to people with a reproduction of a gold spike on it, printed, of course. The invitation reads, "The management and employees of the Alaska Railroad most cordially invite you to join in commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Alaska Railroad by participating in gold spike ceremonies to take place on Sunday, July 15, 1973, at Nenana, Alaska." The Alaska Railroad had souvenir programs which they distributed to guests on their train. I wasn't a guest on the train, by the way. I drove my car down there. The guest list is an interesting concoction of names, and I think it was probably devised, it was devised by the Alaska Railroad, but it's not like the guest list that you normally see in Fairbanks, where they start out with the top cat in town and go on down and include the city council and borough and the military and so on and so on and so on. This guest list that I have in front of me here includes shippers, other railroad executives or officials from other areas, for example, Vancouver, Seattle, the Canadian National Railroad, people like that. On the back of their program, the Alaska Railroad printed remarks by President Harding when he drove that gold spike in 1923. It was at 4:30 in the afternoon, and I'd like to read those remarks as they were written on the program. And these were the words of President Harding, July 15, 1923. "Mr. Secretary, Governor Bone, Colonel Steese, and fellow citizens, before performing the last act in the program, which symbolizes the completion of the railroad, I wish to add my word of tribute to those who pioneered it and contributed of their genius and courage to the making of this steel highway through an almost impassable land. We've been traveling now somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 miles over marvelous highways, and one thought has occurred to me everywhere, namely, that the outstanding genius of it all is the man who found the way, who had the conception, the perception, and the confidence to find an open pathway through the mountains, the wilderness, and the canyons, and to surmount the various other physical difficulties which necessarily had to be encountered. I do not suppose any individual or set of individuals would have undertaken the construction of such a railway, that it had to be left to the government itself. I am frank to say that when the enterprise was first proposed, I was rather inclined to oppose it. But having seen the Empire of Alaska and the possibilities which this railway opens up, I am glad a generous government undertook and carried to completion the construction of the Alaska Railroad. It is not possible to liken a railway to a magician's wand, but the effect to me is the same, for the whole problem of civilization, the development of resources, and the awakening of communities lies in transportation. So the government has come into this wonderful land and opened up a steel highway which makes possible an inestimable development. I hope the development which will accrue will be all that the people of Alaska are hoping for and more, but I hardly presume it will come in any hurried way. I cannot see how it may. I was very much impressed by a remark made by the president of the Pioneers Association, to which I was admitted to honorary membership a little while ago. He referred to the sturdiness, the industry, and the confidence of pioneers in developing this country. In my humble judgment, the qualities of the pioneers cooperating with the transportation line, which has now been opened, will do more to work out the development of this wonderland, than anything which the great government of the United States can do. I hope that the greatest expectations of the people of Alaska may be completely fulfilled. Now, Mr. Secretary, in conformity with your suggestion and in commemoration of the completion of the railroad, I have the pleasure of driving the Golden Spike. Those words that I just read were the remarks made by President Harding at the July 15, 1923, driving of the Golden Spike. The program printed by the railroad for this occasion today contained several descriptions or milepost descriptions that were taken from the 1923 bulletin for the presidential special. They explain the reason for these mileposts or these they're not cities, they're just train stops. Milepost 387, that's 387 miles from Seward. We'll take that as an example. Elevation 705 feet. At that time it was called Kobe, K-O-B-E, or that's how they pronounce it. And there's a Kobe, Japan. I don't suppose it's named after that. At any rate, it's called Rex now. Kobe, terminus of the new winter mail trail to the Kuskokwim and Iditarod. Next year, this will replace the Rainy Pass route. This rail extends onto Good News Bay in the extreme southwestern part of the territory, a distance of nearly 1,000 miles, in a fairly direct line from Kobe and lying west of the Alaska Range. Last year, several hundred tons of high-grade silver-lead ore were shipped out to Kobe from the Kantishna district by double bobsleds, horse-drawn. Singleton's Roadhouse is a very busy place in the winter months. Note the characteristic dog barns. And here's a description of Healy. Milepost 358, elevation 1,368. The Healy River Coal Corporation's coal mine is located on a 5-mile spur. This is the most remarkable coal outcropping in the territory, so far as is known. This mine produces about 1/3 of the coal used in the Alaska Railroad. This coal is also being marketed along the Alaskan coast from Ketchikan to Kodiak. Nenana River Canyon. Nenana River Canyon follows for a distance of 10 miles from Healy. This picturesque ravine is held within steep walls which rise to a height of 1,000 feet above the tumultuous stream. Those are just three of the excerpts from the original 1923 bulletin for the President Harding's trip. I think I have time to read one more here before Walker Johnson and Mr. Ingram begin their recorded address, or what I have on tape. Honolulu, that's milepost 289, elevation 1,456 feet. It's kind of a joke in Fairbanks. People say, we're going to Honolulu, and they actually are going about halfway to Anchorage. Honolulu, a trail crossing is made here on a 360-foot cable suspension bridge upriver to the right, giving access from Honolulu to important prospects on the Broad Pass Mining District. Just another excerpt from the original program that President Harding read.
It's a distinct pleasure for me to take part in a ceremony such as this and to come to a town like Nenana, where everybody turns out and everybody helps. Of course, we've always felt, and from what I've heard, of course, I've only been here a year and a half, but what I've heard, Nenana has always been very close to the Alaska Railroad and to the people who take part on the railroad. So it's a real, real pleasure to be here with all of you today. And I'd like to ask General Ingram to participate in with Colonel Coghill in putting a spike in the monument.
Thank you.
Hold it. Hold the trolley. That's very much on. I think we've got the mud over here. John Ingram, Federal Railway Administrator, representing the Department of Transportation, with us today, has a few words which he would like to give at this time. Mr. Ingram.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I feel very privileged to be here today to rejoice with you and share with you the golden anniversary of the Alaska Railroad. I'm here not only as administrator of the Federal Railroad Administration that operates the railroad, but also as a representative of President Nixon and as 37th President of the United States. President Nixon, of course, is the titular head of the Alaska Railroad. As you know, three previous U.S. presidents played active roles in the creation of the railroad. President Taft recommended its construction with federal funds in 1913. President Wilson chose the present route from Seward to Fairbanks in 1915. And President Harding commemorated the railroad's completion by driving the first golden spike on July 15, 1923, just 50 years ago today. I know that both President Nixon and Secretary Brinegar, the Secretary of Transportation, wanted to be here with you on this memorable occasion. The President's a little bit under the weather, and the Secretary's hard at work on the railroad problems of the Northeast, and so therefore it all turned out to be my personal good fortune, I suppose, in being here, because I had the pleasure of driving, re-driving the Gold Spike just a couple of hours ago on the other side of the bridge. By repeating the memorable ceremony performed half a century ago, we were rededicating the Alaska Railroad, rededicating it to the continued growth and progress of this important state. And there just can't be any doubt that Alaska and the Alaska Railroad are vital to the entire United States. Even more so today than when Mr. Seward bought Alaska for $7.5 million. Today we recognize what a bargain he got for that money. He paid roughly 2 cents an acre for the state, or for this magnificent territory. But Seward's folly has turned out to be one of the best investments the United States has ever made. In fact, one of the best investments in recorded history. He made that investment as a visionary. You think he was unaware that someday the United States would be looking northward to her largest state for the oil deposits locked in the North Slope. As President Nixon pointed out in his recent energy message, the supply of domestic energy resources is not keeping pace with our ever-expanding demands for fuel. Unless we act swiftly and effectively, we could face a general energy crisis in the foreseeable future in the United States. President Nixon was referring to the continuing postponement in the start of construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and this indecision surrounding the pipeline is having some unfavorable consequences right now. Lack of assurance that oil can be brought out of the Arctic within the foreseeable future has resulted in understandable reluctance of those who are called upon to decide to risk substantial resources in the future exploration for oil in Alaska. And although the complex and difficult engineering problems of pipeline construction have been reasonably resolved, and the concerns of the environmentalists have been reasonably satisfied, there is still a debate as to whether a Trans-Alaska or a Trans-Canada pipeline should be built. Not only are we concerned with our needs for energy, which of course are growing, while the resources are not, we're also concerned that delay in the decision regarding bringing out the oil now known to be present in the North Slope will also retard the expected development of Alaska. 4 years of study and preparation of the Alaska pipeline are behind us, and that kind of work is just starting in the Canadian project. With careful consideration of the environmental impact of the pipeline and with the background already accumulated by years of planning and technical engineering, the Alaska pipeline could be delivering 2 million barrels of crude oil a day to the West Coast refineries by 1980 if construction could begin immediately. The debate goes on in Congress. One of the decisive votes will occur Tuesday. We hope that President Nixon's urgings will be heeded and that the Alaska pipeline will be approved. Although the shipper ultimately, of course, decides on the mode of transportation for his product, we in the railroad business have naturally examined the potential use of rail for oil shipment and for auxiliary service if the pipeline is constructed. Even before the pipeline became an environmental or a political issue, the study conducted last year for the Department of Transportation in the state of Alaska outlined the cost and technical procedures necessary for northward expansion of the railroad to the petroleum-rich areas of Prudhoe Bay. The chosen corridor for such a north-south rail line would begin in Nenana on the existing Alaska Railroad, would proceed north and cross the Yukon River and the Brooks Range to the North Slope. It would terminate somewhere around the Dead Horse Airstrip near Prudhoe Bay. The consulting engineers who investigated the 581-mile route estimated it would cost $1.37 billion to design and construct a low-tonnage, single-track railroad with many sidings along the way for switching and for handling local freight. The cost of building a high-tonnage railroad to transport the oil, of course, would be a good bit more. Cost of construction of such a railroad, as the cost of all other construction projects in Alaska, would be heavily influenced by the severe climate, the cost of living differential, and other factors required to bring all those materials up here. But railroad construction, of course, poses some other severe engineering problems which also affect cost. The problems of preparing a suitable roadbed are severe. The problems of anticipated tunneling in Dietrich Pass, which of course is too steep a grade for a railroad to stay on the surface, produces some sort of problems. But these are not problems that we can't solve. They're within our grasp. They're things that we can do. We have technological know-how that can handle this sort of thing. As a matter of fact, we've just begun to project to find new solutions to construction problems in areas where temperature changes cause grounds to buckle and shift. We intend to determine how to better distribute the load of ballast in locations where the foundations are weak. We've got a research project going on in Alaska to determine how such railroads should be built, what can be done to improve the way we build railroads in this sort of climate. We're going to be experimenting with the new adjustable rail fasteners, which would obviate the present-day necessity of respiking rail to existing timber ties, a procedure that compensates for the misalignment of track that's caused by heaving from the weather. I'm giving you these technical details to illustrate the magnitude of the problem, but this is the type of challenge that pioneers in Alaska have always accepted and will continue to accept. I'm confident that when the day comes that the need for the railroad's extension to Prudhoe Bay is firmly established, that you people and the railroad people will rise to this new challenge and translate the concept into reality. I know it can be done. You may want and ultimately need such a link to the northeast reaches of this great state, whether or not the pipeline is built. But when the pipeline goes in, I'm certain that Alaska will experience a boom that dwarfs the famous gold rush. The expanding economy will require added work from all transportation modes, but I think that none is more suitable or more dependable in Alaska than the Alaska Railroad. On the other hand, if the pipeline project gets delayed again, the railroad necessarily would form a core part of the system necessary to move all of the products in Alaska, as well perhaps as the oil. And this may only be the beginning of realizing Alaska's abundance in mineral wealth. Much of it probably is not yet pinpointed. I doubt if we really know where it all is. But geologists know enough of the terrain to be certain that beneath the ground in this area, there are riches beyond our wildest expectations. And that's why we like railroads. A railroad can handle most anything. But the decision on how to best explore and exploit this country is up to you Alaskans. One thing is certain, the key to capitalizing God-given riches lies in an efficiently operating transportation system. I think all of us assembled here know that Alaska is at a crossroads today, perhaps the most critical in our exciting career. The decision about the pipeline is a critical one. But so are decisions about the whole spectrum of transportation in this new state. Should we now make the investments necessary to bring the Alaska Railroad up to its optimum configuration? Should the line be extended northward to Prudhoe Bay? Should sea capability be added to extend the line's operations to the lower 48? Should a highway be built now, or should the development be delayed in favor of extension of the railroad? Questions abound, questions all over the place. I think what we need are some carefully calculated answers, and these are going to have to be based on some sort of unanimity, indeed some sort of general feeling among the people of Alaska that the action to be taken is something that's good for this state. And it's really a time for decisions, a time when the greatest opportunity exists, and if we make the right decisions, the greatest potential for future development of this state. And before I close, let me say one thing. I really enjoyed this beautiful lunch here today. I think it's something extraordinary when a town of this size puts on a beautiful feast like this for this many people. I think it's part of what made this country great, part of what made Alaska great, and I just want you to know how much we appreciated it. Thank you very much.
I would just like to repeat what John Ingram just said. We on the Alaska Railroad greatly appreciate the hospitality shown us here today, and it was a pleasure for all of us to be with you and to take part in this celebration. Thank you again.
Well, the Anchorage train has arrived, so the Gold Spike guests going on to Anchorage aboard this train that will be in the station here in a few moments. Those people returning to Fairbanks aboard the following train, which will take you back to Fairbanks. Thank you very much.